Father, we give you praise this morning. We worship you. We thank you. It is our deepest and most active and urgent desire to receive revelation from heaven, insight, ideas, and concepts that have first passed through your heart and mind and transferred to our inner man and into our mental process. We receive it, sir. Oh, we receive it this morning. And we do thank you. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, before you seat it, do you believe, like I do, that once you know what God's will is concerning something, then you ought to do it?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I learned many years ago that really the pathway and the secret to success, which is not a secret at all, but it is hidden in the Word of God. It's not hidden from God's people. It's hidden for God's people. And I learned a long time ago, it's not difficult. It is just, I am yours to command, sir. Your will, your plan be done in my life today. That's not hard. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, if someone is made aware that it is God's will for you to prosper, who are you to tell God you don't need it? He didn't say nothing about you needing it. The scripture said he gives us all things richly to enjoy. So with that in mind, then, does he give us things to meet our needs?
Yes.
No, he doesn't. Trick question. No, he doesn't. I just got the quote in the scripture to you. He gives us all things to enjoy.
Amen.
And they meet your needs.
Yeah,
glory. Amen. See, and that's the way it goes. I mean, he caught me on that, and so then I get a chance to catch you on it. Hallelujah. Now, does God need people? He has chosen to need people, therefore he needs people. Amen? Does he need you unsaved? No. He needs you born again. Does he need you weak?
No.
He needs you strong. Does he need you sick?
No.
Did he bear our sicknesses and diseases so... Well, wait a minute. Did he bear our sicknesses and diseases so we could be more sick?
No.
Why? Because he needs you well. He needs you strong. Well, does he need you broke where you can't do anything? Does he need you in debt so someone else can tell you and order you what to do with the things he has given you?
No.
Amen. Well, now that we've settled all that, you can be seated. We're going to have a good time this morning. Well, yes, Brother Copeland. But you see, my little family and I... Oh, you're going to drag your family into this, huh? Okay. My little family and I... The prosperity message really doesn't mean all that much to us because we just, you know, we don't require very much. That's probably the most selfish thing you ever said. Nowhere in the Bible did it say you have to keep it. You can stay broke if you want to. If you only require, you know, $300 or $400 or $500 a month, I don't know how you and the government are going to get along on that. But anyway, if you only require $300 or $400 or $500 a month, go ahead and believe God for $10,000 a month. Give $9,500 of it to the church. How about your pastor? How about all the missionaries? How about the work of the Lord? There nothing said you had to keep it. You can stay broke. You'll have to work at it. Because the more of it you give, the more of it here is it's going to come. And there's some of it just kind of going to rub off and stick to you, you know. Glory!
Glory!
Now that is an understanding and a concept of the way God sees prosperity. His blessing is not just for comfort. His blessing is in order for you to bless. Now you start blessing people, you're going to work harder than you ever worked in your life. Because you're going to be on call 24 hours a day. You know, you're going to quit working for a living. You're going to start living, brother. And when you do, you're going to go to work. Because you're going to be giving all over the world. You're going to be looking at people's bright eyes when they get healed on the other side of the world. Glory to God. Amen. Now then, open your Bible to the Gospel of John chapter 6. God is raising up a prosperous people. Amen. Thank you, Lord. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickens or gives life or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. So in light of what he's saying here, let's say it like this. The source of life is the Spirit because the flesh cannot give life. It can receive it, but it can't give it. Amen. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Say it. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So if they, his words are spirit and they are alive, then his words by the Spirit give life. Now then, John chapter 10. And look at the 10th verse. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You could say it like this. He is our shepherd, and he has given his life not only for us, but to us.
Amen.
And did you know he's still doing that? He still ever maketh intercession for the believers, for the saints. Amen. So now, can we put those two things together? Of course we can. If we're going to receive life from Him, then it's obvious we're going to have to put His words, which are spirit and are life, we're going to have to put those words as final authority and walk in those words to receive the life that's in those words. Now, do you remember Jesus said, the sower soweth the word? What happens when you sow a seed that's alive? It grows, doesn't it? What does it produce? It produces after its own kind. Now, stay with me now. We're working on something this morning, and you're going to be glad when we get there. Now, let's back up here in the same Gospel of John, and let's look at the fifth chapter, John chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for what things soever He does, these also doth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and shows Him all things that Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now, wait a minute. Who did He say in the 14th chapter would do the greater works? He that believes on Him. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself there, but I'm so excited about that. I just couldn't help jump over there a little bit. Praise God. Amen. And now look at verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. So what is the summary of these things? I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Now, let's go then to the 14th chapter, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He does the works. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Well, now we fully understand from all of these other verses, He said, my Father has shown me what I must speak and what I must do. So we know where the words are coming from, right? From the Father. Now we also know from the message that He preached when He said He found the place where it was written, which actually was Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So now what did He do there? He went directly to the Word. What did He tell the devil when the devil approached Him? He said, it is written. Now, in Luke's gospel, it's very interesting. He told the devil, it is written. Man shall not live. Man. man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know what he just told you and me? We have the capacity to receive, to hear and receive and speak and act on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Whoa. That's big. That is enormous. And then Satan came back to him and shut his mouth off again. And this time in Luke's gospel, Jesus said, "It has been said to me." Ah, amen. Man, he nailed him to the wall with what was written and what was spoken. What happened when the angel came to little Mary and delivered this wonderful message that day? She didn't understand it. Said she didn't. But she said, "Be it done unto me, sir, as you have spoken." Glory. So that puts us in this position with the Word of God. By the leadership of Jesus, his words are spirit, his words are life, his words came from the Father. He is also our Father because of Jesus. "Be it done unto me, sir, as you have spoken and as you have written." Amen. Glory to God. Now I'm on my way to victory. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, like I said, we're working on something, so you stay with me now this morning. So now, he said, the words, "I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works." Well, the first work the Father did was give him the words to say. He said them, and the Father backed them with his power. And therefore, we see the dead raised, the lame walk, the blind see. Amen. Well, let me ask you this. When did he change? When did the Father change? When did the Word change? It is us that had to change. Amen. And we accepted him as Lord and Savior, and we did. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. Now then, remember now, this whole conference, we've been talking about the word of his power. And I'll remind you, in Thursday evening service, we read from the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, he has spoken to us in these last days by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, everything, all things, all things. And we are his joint heir, according to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And he is upholding all things by the word of his power. Well, I got news for you, folks. We are his voice in this earth. It's time for us to get over on his words and the words that we speak and the words that we act on. And we expect the Father in us to do the same works. Give us the words, we speak them, he upholds them. Oh, don't preach me happy. Woo-hoo! Glory. Glory a Dios. Hallelujah. Woo. Meha. Tehle. Cristo la sampo cura.
It is my will, saith the Lord, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, saith the Lord, and it brings great honor and great glory to me, to the Father, and to this great kingdom of God, when those that obey me and walk with me in my words and put my commands in first place, it brings me great honor to honor you and to bring these things to pass, saith the Lord. So listen carefully and you will see into how the system works, saith the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Yes. Now you're believing with me, aren't you? Now help me now. And it's, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Liz. Yes, sir, I'll do that. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, hold your place in Hebrews 5:10 and go to the book of Colossians chapter 1, because we want to be able to turn from Hebrews back to Colossians without taking time to find it. So find Colossians chapter 1. And Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5:10. This is referring to Jesus in the 8th verse, though he were a son. It's referring to Jesus. Called of God. A specific ministry calling. Called of God. A high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's the calling of Jesus. All right, hold your place there now. Flip back over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Now that's the blessing in operation. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, M-E-E-T, draw you a little dotted line or underline the word meet and write in your margin able, A-B-L-E. He has enabled us. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now that absolutely removed any idea that we're just little unworthy whatever, just an old sinner saved by grace. You can't be both. If you're an old sinner, get saved by grace. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and we've been made able to be partaker. Say partaker. Say it five times. Partaker, 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 partaker. Say, I am a partaker. I am well able to partake. Partake of what? The inheritance of the saints in life. I'm as able to partake as anybody that's ever been born again. Now, flip right back over there to the book of Hebrews. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Back to the third chapter now. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers. Are you a partaker?
Yes.
Say, I'm well able. By the power of the Holy Ghost. To partake.
Partake.
Of whatever he says I'm partaker of. Well, let's see what we're partakers of. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. I am a partaker of Jesus' calling as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Uh-oh, this changes everything. I can't gripe and groan anymore. I'm a partaker of his calling. Now, he is high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Holy brethren, partakers of that heavenly calling, consider the apostle. Translate the word apostle. It's just simply a Greek word that means sent. And high priest, parentheses, after the order of Melchizedek, of our profession, Christ, or anointed Jesus. So now we know Jesus is functioning in his calling, correct?
Yes.
Now he's called of God. He is, now listen to me carefully, because with this statement, I may step on some of your religion. I hope so. Jesus is a born again. You just almost heard that old cow moo right then, didn't you? Just as we shot her in the head. Oh, Brother Copeland, why Jesus didn't need to get born again? No, not on his account, but he did on my account. And your account. Amen. Because see, he was made to be sin for us. He was not a sinner. He did not commit sin. He was made to be sin. He bore the curse for you and for me. And he who was once dead was made alive again in the Spirit. If that ain't born again, I'd like to know what born again is. The scripture calls him never, never again. Never, never again. Never, never again the only begotten Son of God. He is referred to all the way through all of the letters, including the book of Revelation, as the firstborn from the dead. Whoa! That really changes everything, doesn't it? Firstborn. Not only born, not anymore. Isn't that wonderful? My number's in there somewhere, so is yours. He's firstborn. I know I'm not twoborn. I know I'm not three. I don't know what my number is, but I'm glad of it.
Yes.
But whatever my number is, it equals one. Because I am a joint heir with the firstborn. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. Jesus, therefore, is a born again Holy Spirit-filled and glorified resurrected man. And God called him God. me startle you a little bit. Let me stun you a moment. Are you ready? This very moment in time, there is a M-A-N man in the Godhead. And he's my brother. There's a man. There's a human man. A born again human man in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he's got his eye on you. And he's got his eye on me. Boy, you can have church on that. Hallelujah. Glory. Now listen. Whoa. Let me quote this verse of chapter 3 like this. Wherefore, or therefore, and because of that, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, say that be me, consider the one that God sent and anointed, see where it says Christ Jesus? That's the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed. Partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the one God sent and anointed to be the high priest of our profession. Chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I'm going to start you again. We're going to put all these pieces together right here. The word translated profession in both of those scriptures literally mean say the same thing. He that hath my commandment, he that has my words and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. My Father will love him, I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. How? As the high priest of those words, when we say them, the Father with him does the work. Now you can see our ministry here on this earth wrapped up in John 14, 10, 11, and 12. And of course, 21. The words that we speak are not ours. The words that we speak are his. Therefore, it is the Father within us that does the work. We are his joint heir. He has been appointed heir of all things. Therefore, he's upholding all things by the word of his power as our high priest. And we are partakers of that heavenly role and that heavenly ownership. And when he speaks to us, we speak to this world. We speak to these things. We speak to the devil. We speak to sickness and disease. And at the same time, we speak to prosperity. We speak to money. We speak the property and we bring it into this kingdom. Isaiah 9, once again, a child is born upon whose shoulders is the government. That's talking about the government of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, pray like this. And he was talking to his own disciples that day when he said, you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Now, for us to correctly pray that, we have to look at it and say, our Father, which is in heaven and in us, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom has come. Yes, yes. Therefore, your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Because the government's on his shoulders, not on his head. The shoulders are in the body. We're the joint heirs, upholding on this earth what he has already said as the high priest. We've been made kings and priests. Whoa. That word translated priest is translated administrators. That's where we get our word minister. Ministry. Go to 2 Corinthians. Are you with me so far?
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians. And let's go to the 9th chapter. Now, somebody close around here got an amplified. Okay, I got my eye on you now. I'm gonna come to the amplified here in a minute. Okay. All right. The very, very familiar scripture, but it's been too familiar in the light of just church thinking. We haven't given this scripture the opportunity to do in our lives what it should be doing right now. God is able to make all grace. All of it. All grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Okay. All right. God is able to make all grace, every favor, and every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. Now listen to this. Listen very carefully, because this is literal translation of the Greek text here. So that you may always and under all circumstances, whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and giving of love. Yeah. Charitable donors. You got it?
Yes.
It is not the will of your Father to be dependent on anything, anybody, any government, any society, any company outside of him. Requiring no outside aid or support, always having in abundance to abound, not struggle to give, abound to every good work. Folks, this is who we are. But remember, he is the high priest, he is the high administrator, and we are partakers of that high calling. Remember that? Are you still a partaker?
Yes.
Let's go on, verse 9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now this is talking about Jesus. Now he that ministers, or he that is the high priest of, he that is the chief administrator of seed to the sower, both minister. Quit using the word give. Use the word minister. He ministers this. He is the chief administrator. We are his joint heirs, and we have been made kings and priests unto our God, of whom he is the high priest. He that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. It did not say bread for the hungry. No. I don't care whether you're rich or poor, you got to eat. And he's responsible.
Well, I'm the breadwinner in my family.
That's the reason you're still broke, hoss. You ought to let somebody do it, knows how. Mainly Jesus. Now, notice what it says. Both, say both.
Both.
Minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the production, the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Well, now, wait a minute. It just got this saying, he ministers seed to the sower. Have you made yourself available to be a minister under Jesus? To minister seed to the sowers that don't have it to sow? To get them started, get them up out of that ditch they're in? Praise God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you haven't, you don't know what life's all about yet. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about day in, day out, on the street, on the job, everywhere you go. Just, you get over into that life, and this is when strange and wonderful things happen. Amen. Back up to the 8th chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Then we're going to go over to the book of Matthew. Let's take a moment and settle this. Because now remember now that God wants and needs you and me prosperous.
Amen.
Well and strong.
Yes.
Why? So we're abundantly abounding and supplied always to anything he wants to do. Every good the good work of God. That's what this is all about. And in the meantime, we get to wear good, drive good, fly good. I heard the word of the Lord say one day, even a janitor can have a jet. If a man is a janitor because God put him on that job, it don't mean he has to live on the janitor's salary. No. And a woman come up to me, it's just kind of sassy, you know. Brother Copeland, I'd like to know, what do a janitor need with a jet? Well, at first I didn't know. you just turn inward and see what the Lord has to say. And I heard this come out of my mouth. Depends on what he does on his weekends. He's a church janitor all week, but on Sunday he's preaching in Rome, you know. Amen. See, we're in the kingdom of God. We live by faith. The just live by faith. We're not asking, what do we eat? What do we wear? No. That's a wrong question. That's an insult. Jesus said, don't even take that thought. Quit worrying about that. Quit thinking about that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things. Do it like God. Speak only his word. Do what he says do. And what? All these things will be added to you. And we know now in abundance. We're not tied to that Babylonian world unless you owe it money. We are tied to the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Tithing is the umbilical cord that connects God's family to his kingdom. You bring me what's mine, he says, and I'll pour you out blessing you ain't got room enough to contain. I have rebuked the devourer for your sake. The devourer is out there in that other kingdom. We're in the kingdom of light. He's in the kingdom of darkness. We just got through reading that we've been translated. We've been delivered from the authority of darkness and been translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. We're there now. You don't get in the kingdom of God when you die. If you ain't in the kingdom of God when you die, you ain't gonna get there. We're there now. We've been raised up and made to sit with him in heavenly places. Glory to God. And our citizenship is in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. We are not employed by the kingdom of God. We are deployed by the kingdom of God. And they can't cut off heaven's budget. The politicians can't get their hands on it. Whoa! It's good for politicians to get born again and have some understanding of both kingdoms. Amen. Glory. Now, what did I tell you? 2 Corinthians 8 chapter? All right. Now, notice this in verse 7. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 8, 7. Therefore, as you abound, notice that word abound again. As you abound in every thing, notice things and the word inner in italics, they were added later by translators. Therefore, as you abound in every faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us or to the ministry, see that you abound in this grace also. So, let's back up now. Obvious, abounding in every faith, that's grace, isn't it? Because he said, this grace also. So he's talking about abounding in faith, abounding in utterance, so that's a grace, abounding in knowledge, so that's a grace, and in all diligence, so that's a grace, and in your love for the ministry, that's a grace. See that you abound in this grace also. So now, obviously, here is a grace that up to now, they didn't know anything about. So he's saying you're abounding in these graces, now you need to abound in this one. Now, he lays it out in the ninth verse. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Now, he didn't, listen, look at me. He didn't become poor when he was born of Mary in that manger. He's not a poor man. Money or no money, feeding 20,000 people was no trick for him. No problem. He prospered in all ways. So when did he become poor? He bore the curse of poverty on that cross. It's listed in the curse of the law. And he became a curse for us. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from the curse of poverty. And here's that explanation of that right here. Though he was, say it out loud, rich, say it slowly, rich, R-I-C-H, rich. Did anybody pass out? Rich is a Bible word.
Amen.
Do you know what? God invented gold and silver. If God hadn't have taught Adam the difference, he wouldn't have known the difference between gold and dirt. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Now, let me give you this. In the spirit of the way it is written, and you get this from studying all of the scriptures that have to do with poverty in the whole Bible, and all the scriptures that have to do with wealth and great wealth in the whole Bible, it comes to this. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. What does that mean? He became as poor as we were.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
He took the curse of poverty. He actually became more poor than any human has ever experienced because he took it all. So that you through his becoming poor as we were, we could become as rich as he is. Man, you missed a place to shout right there. He became sick with our sickness so that we can be as well as he is. He became sin with our sin so that we could be as holy and righteous as he is with his righteousness. You know the truth? That's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he did on the cross. That's what he did in hell. That's what he did when he was resurrected. And that's what he's doing today as our representative, as the Lord Advocate General of the universe. And he's my blood brother. Glory be to God. Now, if that was a grace, abound in this grace also. What do you think is out there in grace? We haven't seen it. All grace abounding. All grace.
Yes.
So we can get in that grace right there in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. We can get in that and keep our mind on that and read it and live it and believe it. That's a living word. That's not our words. That word came from heaven. That word came from God. The words that I speak to you today are not mine. They are the Father within me doing the works. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory. Yes, 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 yes. Never let it go. Now, here's what I want you to hear. Are you ready?
Yes.
The thing that I can do that is exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think is to make all grace abound towards you. And that's what's happening for you and for your nation right now. I've never seen that. I've never put those two together. He said, the thing that I can do that's exceeding abundantly beyond all you could ask or think is to cause all of my grace to abound towards you. And we can receive it without even knowing what it is. He said all, he means all. Bring it on. I take it. I have it. I'm so grateful to you. And sir, I forgive if I have aught against any. Don't ever leave that one off. That is the first act of grace. What was his first act of grace? Wiping out your sin. So he could treat you like sin had never been. Those of you that watch any television at all, there's a commercial on that's got green trucks and green people and they clean up after floods. You remember that? And they say, like it never even happened. Remember that? That commercial came across, and it always kind of intrigued me that everything they got's green. I don't, you know. Anyway, and they said, like it never even happened. The word of the Lord came to me just like to knock me off my chair and said, that's grace. Like sin never even happened. Sin like sin never even happened. All right, the book of Matthew, and we'll close with this. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Come on, believe God with me here for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help me here, Lord. I want to get this done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. 14th chapter of Matthew. Let me remind you what Jesus said. My words are spirit. They are life. The words that I speak unto you are not my words. Don't come from me. It's the Father that dwelleth within me. What was our summary? I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Now, verse 13, Jesus heard of it. He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, this went on all day, didn't it? When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. These guys interrupted Jesus ministering to the people to tell him what time it is. Whoa. Let's don't be ugly toward them. Every one of us have talked all day long to God, trying to inform him. None of us have ever informed him of anything. But there's a problem here. They're facing a problem, and they came to the point where this problem took precedent over anything Jesus was saying and anything he was doing. They got their minds over on this. They quit listening to him. They obviously quit helping him in the prayer and ministry to these people. Now, let's see what's going on here. It is a desert place. Now, we're about to see Jesus function in the midst of a mini, M-I-N-I, small example of a famine. There's no water. There's no food. In the middle of a deserted, desert place, a whole lot of people. And at dark, this place gets dangerous. They're not wanting to stay out there all night. Fear has entered the camp. So they took it upon themselves to enlighten Jesus, interrupt the whole proceeding of what he's doing, interrupt kingdom business because something's wrong with the economy. After all, we're just a small church. We have to go to the bank to build our building. Wrong. Lie from hell. But look what they said. See, he's moved with compassion. They are moved by the fact that it's getting dark. This is a desert place. That's the first thing they said. So that's the first thing they got on their mind. And the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But, let me read this in the light of what we've learned today. But the high priest said unto them, they need not depart. You feed them. In a place where there ain't no water and there's not any food. It's a desert place. You feed them. If your Bible says up at the top of the heading, Jesus feeds the 5,000, very politely right out there and say, uh-uh. Why? Because Jesus said what he heard the Father say. I don't know whether that thrills you like it does me or not. But see, the same Father's dwelling in me. And the same Father don't care whether there's frogs and snakes or what there is out there. He don't care what the economy is doing. Not from this standpoint. Heaven is not running short. Unless it's running short of people that'll say what he said. Now, look what he said. They said, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them here to me. Aha. Ah. Oh, now we know, don't we? I don't care what it is. Whatever you got, bring it here.
Amen.
He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, looking up into heaven, he did what?
Bless.
He did what?
Bless.
He did what?
Bless.
That's 4 really weak blessed.
Bless.
This is the key issue to the whole thing. He blessed. God blessed Adam, saying, be fruitful. He was not fruitful till God said that. Multiply. He could not multiply until God said that. Replenish. Resupply the earth. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. The word translated sorrow in Hebrew is toil. You cannot earn, you cannot work up the blessing of the Lord. It is by faith, so that it might be by grace. He released the blessing of Abraham on that little dab of food. And it began to replenish. It began to multiply. It began to be fruitful. And so did they. Now the blessing's on them, not just the food. His blessing, his anointing of increase came on them. You know why? Because he told them to feed them. Now, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. It only functioned in Jesus' hands 12 times. It multiplied in their hands to better than 20,000 people. So what happened? May I have permission to say this?
Yes.
You give me permission to say
yes.
This? They did a greater work than he did.
Yes.
Now you don't think he got huffy? Well, how dare them feed more people than I did?
No, that's what he said would happen if you just do what I tell you to do.
That ought to excite you right there, my brother and sister. Now, this final word. He blessed and he broke. What do you think he said?
Father, bless these little loaves and fishes. And bless the fishermen that caught them. And bless the baker that baked them. Bless them to the nourishment of all of our bodies.
Now, when did he hear the Father say that? When the Father spoke the blessing to Abraham, later he spoke it to Noah and his sons and said exactly the same thing. Remember, the word in the book of Hebrews was that we hang on to saying the same thing. Why? Because Jesus said, my words are not mine, but I speak only those things which my Father has taught me, only those things which he said about me, only those things which he has said to me. God didn't say to Adam, that little rinky-dink prayer that we've been praying, praying the blessing over our food. It got to where it wasn't even the blessing anymore. It was just saying grace. Lord, bless this food. Amen. Pass the business. We know exactly what he said.
Be blessed. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish these people to the glory of God the Father. So be it.
Start passing it out. Pass it out to them and step back. And watched it happen. And then what God did?
Yes.
He finished his work.
Yes.
He didn't rest because he's tired. He rested because he's finished.
Yes.
Well, his last work creating man? No. His last work was blessing the man he created. He created the man. Then he released the blessing on this man. The same power that he created all this with, he put it in and on that man to manage it with it.
and sat back and rested. And the scripture says in the third and fourth chapters of the book of Hebrews that we enter into his rest by ceasing from our own works the way he ceased from his. How did he cease from his? He stopped after he released the blessing to do the job. Jesus released the blessing and it fed over 20,000 people. After no effort on his part. Just faith in God. Amen.
Amen.
Well, of course he expended effort ministering to people. But he didn't have to go. He didn't have to go catch the fish. He didn't have to go bake the bread. He just released faith in his Father and said what his Father said, and his Father divided it and fed the people.
Amen.
Somebody give the Lord praise and thanks. Oh! Stand with me, please. Shout it, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
The blessing of Abraham
has come on me
through Christ Jesus.
He bore the curse of the law for me.
He has blessed me.
I am blessed.
I have faith in God.
I have opened my eyes.
My eyes are
blessed.
I've opened my ears.
My ears are
blessed.
I receive the blessing of the Lord.
From the top of my head to the soles of my feet.
I'm blessed.
All of my needs are supplied.
He gives me all things richly
to enjoy,
with which to serve him.
He told Abraham, in blessing I will bless you and make you a blessing. Now, our first thinking is, he'll bless me with more than enough of anything I need so that then I can take out of my overflow and give to others. That's good, but that's not primarily what he was talking about. He has given you and me his joint heirs, his anointing, his spirit, his name, his word, and his power to bless. I bless you now. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you.
The preceding message is copyright 2013 by Eagle Mountain International Church Incorporated and Kenneth Copeland Ministries and may not be duplicated for any commercial usage. Non-commercial distribution to a reasonable amount of friends for the purpose of spreading the gospel is allowed with the restriction that this oral notice must stay a part of the message. Additional information about Kenneth Copeland Ministries, including additional media products, may be obtained by visiting our website at kcm.org.